listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am sitting here with a very funny and very young and very handsome Ryan Buds.
Oh, three nice compliments.
Isn't
right
it?
Off the bat.
I don't know if young is a compliment.
That was worth the drive down, I think. 40 minutes for those three things? That was good.
Ryan is going to be performing at the Hungry Brain in a few weeks as part of this You, Me, Them, Everybody series. Ryan is also, he's obviously a stand-up. Well, now you know he's a stand-up. But he's very young. He's only, do you want to say your age or no? Do you want to hide this from people?
Let's make him guess. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, 23.
23 years old. How does a 23-year-old have 3 years of stand-up behind your under your belt? Right
yeah,
now?
I started when I was 20.
How do you, at 20, go up and do this?
It was just, you know, it's always something I wanted to do. I did a lot of performing in high school.
When you say performing in high school, what do you mean?
Actually, everything, like, the opposite of stand-up, which is weird. I did a lot of plays, a lot of interpretation, that kind of stuff. Most of it was humorous, but nothing where I'm writing jokes and really going up. You know, it was mostly just memorizing lines and doing stuff. Like, we did, the coolest thing we did in high school was a stage adaptation of Clue the movie.
Okay.
Which is, like, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Did you write this, or did you?
No. We had really cool, like, drama teachers.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Allen B. Shepherd in Palos Heights.
Is that a Catholic school or a public school?
No, public school. Public school.
Public school.
Yeah, we had great, great people who ran the arts there. And they loved movies, and they loved the same stuff that we as students liked, and we just decided to do Clue 1 year, and it was just awesome.
So unlike most artistic types, you had a very positive high school experience.
I did, and I think if I didn't do that kind of stuff in high school, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Just the little talking in front of people. Mm-hmm. I was on a thing called the speech team, which is...
Do you think this helped you?
Yeah, I do, definitely. I mean, just talking to people in general and being able to... you know, enlighten people with your ideas is all part of what being on the speech team was. And now I do that to strangers and to, instead of parents.
That is true. That is true. I mean, what is the best tip you learned from speech that you use today? I probably could use a speech tip. Just the diction alone is better on your end.
Yeah, enunciation's a huge one.
I'm not very good at that. So.
Yeah. A lot of enunciation. I know they remember that. I took speech in college and it was like a joke. We did all our, a friend and I took it and, we just had fun with it.
Because that sounds like a jolly good time. I'm going to take a speech class in college. Really?
It was right before the sex ed class I had to take in college.
You had to take a sex ed class?
I did. I had to take a sex ed class in college. I didn't have to, but I'm like, this is going to be a good time.
Okay, so yeah, let's go through these two classes. What made you sign up to do the sex class?
I had to take some kind of health and wellness class, I believe.
Do you remember what year you were?
I was a... senior. I was a senior in college taking a sex ed class, and I remember thinking, like, what are they going to teach me that I don't already know?
Did you learn anything in there?
I learned all about condoms.
That's very good. How they go up to your elbow.
Yeah. I learned how to slide those on.
That's
and
good.
What they look like on a banana.
That's
and all
safe.
That. No, I'm just kidding. We did this, it was weird. I thought it would be a little more enlightening than the high school sex ed. Exact same thing.
Okay.
Exact same thing in a bigger room with less people going, ew, and more people going, I think I have that.
Did you have sex ed or whatever in fifth grade?
I have sex in fifth grade? Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh man,
fifth grade
I was banging
would have been
like
better.
Crazy.
I got Van Halen in my head now. Had a sex, not sex ed, but health class.
Oh, yeah.
In fifth grade. Did you have this too?
I did, and I remember
think it's
the teacher.
Like state mandatory, right?
Oh yeah, you got to take a sex ed in grade school. I remember the teacher brought in a little. This is a little graphic. She brought in a little jar of petroleum jelly.
Did she really?
She did, and it was all like it wasn't like she went out and bought it. It was like she's like, I'll bring this in for the kids and tell them what not to put on a condom.
Seriously?
Yeah. Like, oh man, this thing was used. There was some of the letters might have been missing out of the word petroleum. I don't know what was going on with this can. But it was definitely not a brand new can, and that was my maybe that's why I had to take it in college. I didn't learn too much.
I think it makes sense to bring in the petroleum jelly in college.
Yeah,
because you're old enough to remember, like, hey, when things aren't wet enough, you might need this. But in fifth fucking grade,
yeah, definitely, it was a riot.
It just reminds
I remember sitting there in fifth grade going, I don't think I was going to use that anyway.
Like, why? Well, maybe in the future.
In college, you're just reaching for anything. Anything that's around you use as that.
But
you know?
Why do you need that in college? What kind of college is this?
College sex ed was all about, I don't know. It was like, do you want to play volleyball? Or do you want to, you know, it was like you had to take a volleyball class or you had to learn about chlamydia again. So.
All right, so you decided, hey, I'm already taking sex ed. I know what I'll do. I'll double down and throw some money on speech.
Exactly. Did the speech class, and that was a requirement. I think most colleges if I'm not mistaken, that's in the 4 years you have to take some kind of speech class because they want you to be able to, you know, go on job interviews and that kind of stuff. So being in speech all throughout high school, and I had started stand up when I was a sophomore in college.
Okay.
So I'm already, you know, familiar with talking to people. It was a riot. It was a lot of fun. It was a friend and I took it together, and people were writing really serious, you know, abortion, anti-abortion, for abortion speeches and political speeches. And we're doing like, why Saved by the Bell is my favorite show of all time.
Speaking
and,
of,
you know, stuff like that.
Really quick tangent. Have you seen the new Jimmy Fallon show?
Yeah, I have. And I saw he's trying to get them all together.
Do you like that?
I'm not a huge fan of the Jimmy Fallon show. I think that idea is cool. And I loved when, the guy who plays Zach, Mark Gosselaar. Yeah. I loved when he went, I couldn't believe
that
he did
that. Hilarious.
That was
hilarious.
He went
out and did the entire interview in character.
It's amazing that he went and did that, but they still can't get a hold of,
well, they can get a hold of Screech. Just,
yeah. He doesn't want to be part of the people. I mean, he could probably,
he's making a lot of money doing stand-up.
In porn, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Sorry.
Hopefully they're not both on stage. You know, I don't know.
I bet you that one of the bars that would have the amps, like, you're not living in the city, so you probably don't know.
I don't. I live in Orland Park, and I remember right before Riddles. Have you heard of Riddles?
What's Riddles?
Riddles was a comedy club, actually, right not too far from where I live now, that closed, I want to say, a little after I started, so maybe just shy of 3 years ago. And I think one of their last shows was Dustin and Diamond, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Which kind of lets you know you're on the way out.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm sure they had a packed house that night.
Roast him too bad. He's probably a good comic. He's probably a good draw.
Have you
he's
seen
not a great
You've
comic.
Never YouTubed him or anything like that?
I haven't. I have no interest, I don't think.
Yeah,
I'll YouTube Saved by the Bell college years though. See what that's all about.
I remember that show quite well. Do you remember the episode where Slater got the ankle tattoo?
No. No, I don't think
that.
I saw that many. I love spinoffs. I love the whole idea that they're like, let's take a chance on this one side character.
Well, in theory, Saved by the Bell was a spinoff, kind of.
Of
the original Saved by the Bell that was set in Indiana.
Miss Bliss, right?
Exactly.
That was set in Indiana?
It was set in Indiana.
Wow. The British teacher?
The British teacher. It was set in Indiana.
Jeez.
And the funniest part of the Jimmy Fallon show is, what did you do? Well, after sixth grade, I moved here with my principal and best friend. From Indiana. Yeah. Anyways, so speech class, you're writing about Saved by the Bells. Do you remember your grades in that class?
You know, I didn't think I got an A. I think my friend who has no public speaking experience at all and was just having a good time with me got an A, and I think I got a B. I'm always that kind of student. I've never been the guy who gets all A's. I always get the B's. Maybe like one A, you know?
Did they not like you because you didn't take it seriously?
No, it was just like I didn't turn in one speech.
Got it.
You know, something like that. And I remember I did a speech on how I think I had just, let's see, I was a senior. I think I had just kind of, you know, I'd been into it about a year, maybe doing stand-up a year. And I did a speech about how I was just getting into being a comedian. And I remember one of the critiques on that the teacher filled out said, I could have used a sample of one of your jokes. You could have done some jokes. That would have made your speech. That was probably what kept me at a B instead of an A. I wouldn't go that extra mile for that kind of stuff.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, it is weird.
But that's not obviously how you got started in stand-up. You just knew you wanted to do this, so you started doing plays and stuff in high school.
I did. And I really haven't done any acting since high school.
Do you have any desire to do that?
I would like to. I don't feel like I'm a good actor. I feel like in high school I was great. I feel like I was like, man, this is just so much fun, and I'm having a blast on stage, and people seem to enjoy it. But I think that's all it was. I don't think I was essentially a good actor.
Do you remember your best performance from
it? It was Clue. It was Clue.
It was Clue.
I was Mr. Green, who had some great little monologues.
So do you think that if you had a bigger hand in it, or if it was comedic, you could do it?
You mean acting now?
In acting in general, yeah.
You know, I don't want to shy away from it. I just don't feel like I, you know, I think I would have to take almost some classes or something. Or some not classes,
well,
some kind of train. I would have to have someone sit down with me and go, this is what you're doing wrong.
Well,
at
did
least
you have
once.
Anybody sit down with you and say that as a stand-up?
No, I never did that. I never thought that was the way to go with stand-up. I think it's the opposite. I think it's you go and find out on your own how to do it, whether with something like acting, it's like, or even like a music lesson, like you're a musician.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, you got some guitars hanging up
in this
space. And
it looks like a cake.
Yeah, the wall
doesn't
does look. It looks a little frosting.
Yeah,
a little frosting, and I think that with acting or playing an instrument, I think it's like you sit down to somebody, they tell you how to do it, they show you how to do it, and then you kind of mimic it.
Well, I would
with stand up, it's like you kind of go out and do it yourself, and you mimic the pros that appeal to you a little bit when you start off.
When did you say the pros or the pro apostrophe S? Like the professionals? Or the
professionals, that's okay. What I meant, yeah.
Not the actual, like material.
No, not... Well, you know, in some cases, I guess, if you were reading, like, Sign Language by Jerry Seinfeld, which I did, I remember reading it when I was younger and going, like, I don't get it. But now, you know, as a comic, when I was starting out, I'm like, well, let me see what his jokes look like on the page, and I'll mimic that. You know, I'll try and write some jokes on the page stops and starts that he has with different topics.
Does that work?
Yeah, I think that was a good way to get going. I think when I started... I started doing that well before I went on stage. So probably like, you know, towards the end of high school, I was doing stuff like that where I'm like, okay, I'll write out some ideas.
So you knew since high school that you wanted to do this?
I remember I was a freshman in high school, and a friend brought in for me, he goes, you know what you would really like? Eddie Murphy Delirious. And I go, Eddie Murphy, his movie's going to suck. Yeah. You know, because it was like the Nutty Professor age. It was just kind of getting, maybe the second one had just come out. And I'm like, I don't know, Eddie Murphy, really? And then I watched that, and, you know, it was one of those things where, like, I have two older brothers, and I brought it home, we all watched it. And I'm in stitches crying with laughter. I'm like, how have I never seen this? You guys, they're like, oh, we've seen this 100 times. they're like, we forgot you hadn't seen it, you know? So,
yeah.
And once I saw that, I'm like, that guy just did that for an hour. Every single thing he said was funny. The audience was huge, engaged the entire time, and he's wearing an awesome suit. I go, I got to do
that.
Was that
the black leather or the red leather?
That was the red leather, which I like a little better.
Which
than the
was
black
raw
leather.
Suit?
Raw
was the black.
The black
one?
It was like denim blue.
Oh, okay.
I believe
those were some. Yeah, those were some custom suits.
A lot of people like Raw better than Delirious. I'm a big Delirious fan. I think it's great.
Well, for the people that haven't seen you, you are not anything like that.
Oh, sorry. What'd you say?
In terms of Eddie Murphy's Delirious,
yeah.
You could, no, you're not like that. In terms of, like, material.
Oh, you're saying I'm not like Eddie Murphy.
No. I don't mean that as an... No, you're not like... I keep saying no. I have a studying problem, stuttering and a pronunciation problem today. I'm sorry. Your stand-up isn't like that. It's a lot... I don't know. I don't want to say cleaner because it sounds like an insult, but it is.
Oh, okay.
You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
no, I know what you mean. Yeah, I don't think it's
like
an
you
insult.
Could do a clean set without a problem where right. Like you can't you would hear like 8 words in Raw if you did it as a clean set.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I do.
Sorry.
Oh, no. I think in the 80s to do a special like that was more sellable. I don't think you could do a clean special in the 80s except something like Bill Cosby himself, which yeah. I just contradicted myself. That totally works. I mean, that special's huge. It goes on history. I think that was 81 or something
like
that.
Well, what about Stephen Wright's comedy album from like 83 or
That's
84?
True too, I guess. That's not real. He doesn't swear. So I totally just contradicted myself. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is I think that was more of a sellable quality, the Andrew Dice Clay stuff.
Of course.
The Eddie Murphy
Sam
Raw.
Sam Kinison. Like
yeah, I think the loud swearing was kind of, I don't know, when I think of the 80s, especially late 80s comedy, that's kind of what I think of.
Yeah, now you don't have loud swearing, you just have loud, and that's like Dane Cook loud animated.
The animated, animated comics.
Yeah. Yeah. You a fan?
Dane Cook loved the first album, Harmful of Swallowed, which a lot of people say.
A lot of people say,
I loved it, everything after that shit. But, yeah. You know, I kind of agree with that. I remember listening to that. I think it came out when I was in high school, maybe like a junior or senior, and somebody's like, you gotta check this out. And a lot of people in high school is like, you gotta check this out. You gotta see this.
You went to a weird high school.
I did. A lot of people
just
hanging out.
Comedy
no drugs, just comedy. People are passing around comedy and selling comedy CDs.
A very helpful, creative environment.
But, yeah, that was a huge influence, Eddie Murphy Delirious. And then I remember, you know, throughout all high school toying around with that kind of stuff, with trying to write like Seinfeld or Eddie Murphy or anyone who I liked at the time.
And that was good.
Yeah.
So like if you're, if
oh
you're
yeah,
about
that's
stand-up.
What we went, that's what we're talking about. Right? Yeah. I think that that's a good start. People have asked me, you know, how'd you get started? What would you recommend I do, like a younger comic? And you know, that's an easy way to get going. You think about what you like in comics that you listen to, and you try and mimic what they're doing without obviously stealing their material. But, you know, with taking what they did structurally and adding your own premise, punchline, setup, everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you think it was possible when you – well, hold on. When you started out.
Yeah.
Do you think you sounded like your influences? Or
Yeah, definitely. Oh, okay. Yeah. People tell me now, I really, right when I was, starting to do more shows, probably after doing it for 6 months or so, where I was, you know, like, okay, I'm going to do this. I was listening to a lot of Mike Birbiglia, who's like a newer, he's getting huge right now.
For those of you that don't know, Birbiglia had had an off-Broadway show, and because of that off-Broadway show, he's on This American Life like, what, every other month now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sleepwalk With Me was his Broadway
exactly.
show.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a really funny guy, and I hadn't, but yes, I could see the comparison.
Yeah, people go, somebody goes, I heard you on XM, some friend of mine, who, you know, I'm like, I'm not on XM. He's like, no, it wasn't your name. It sounded like you. You know, I'm like, oh, great, thanks for crushing my
It wasn't your name.
Yeah, but people have told me I kind of sounded like him. I would probably say less now than when I first started, but I still, you know, there's probably still some of that in there. I just put up a clip that was on Comedy Central last weekend, actually.
Yeah, I saw it. What happened with
it? Comedy Central has a website called jokes.com, and they had a contest called an open mic challenge where they had you upload a clip of a comedian. It was material that you either, it's you doing an impression of one of your favorite comedians, or you doing material inspired by one of your favorite comedians. So the clip I uploaded was a joke about my last name, which I remember writing when I was listening to Mike Birbiglia's CD, where he does jokes about his last name. So I thought, oh, that's kind of a good way. And
yeah,
I still do it on stage.
You want to do the joke? I know the joke, actually.
Do you want to do the joke?
No, absolutely not. I will butcher it.
I'd rather not. I might butcher it myself.
That's a reason to come to go see him live.
yeah. I don't want to.
No, don't ruin it.
You don't want to ruin it.
I mean, it's funny to think of all the morning radio, and it's not really funny at all. It's kind of sad. We're or every episode of Conan in the past 6 years, where they're like, hey, remember that time when you did this? Go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know what the actual term for that is. I like to call it, is it like sit-down comedy? Is that what you would call that?
It's awful.
Gaffigan goes on Conan like every 6 months.
It's his entire bit.
And he goes,
it's his entire album.
And yeah, and Conan goes, so Jim, I heard you...
you like Mexican food, right?
Yeah, I heard your stomach's upset. And he goes, well, I had one of those Hot Pockets. And you're like, oh, okay. And then he goes into the bit and people laugh. It's a great marketing tool, I'm sure.
Have you ever seen Gaffigan live?
I have. I've seen him. He came to Western Illinois before I graduated. I saw him. And I saw him at Illinois State University probably the year before.
And did the entire crowd demand Hot Pockets for the duration of the show? Because
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was not
good. The second show was all bacon jokes, which was funny.
Shut up.
He does like 20 minutes on bacon. And I remember people were like, you hear like Muffin, you know, he's doing a lot of bacon jokes. But everyone was different and everyone was funny. And you're like, oh man, this is the new Hot Pockets. It's all bacon now.
I gotta hear this new bacon stuff.
I swear to God, it's got to be 15 minutes on bacon.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's good.
Now I'm hungry again.
It gets you hungry, for sure.
By the way, you're not a fat guy, so like I can't imagine you eating, unlike me, who I just ate a giant bowl.
I've got to start watching, man. The older I get...
You're getting older?
I'm getting older.
you drive everywhere.
I do.
I mean...
I do.
That can't be good.
Yeah. For my health.
For the health.
For my health.
Yeah.
For my big fat ass.
I'm
a skinny guy, but I do have kind of a big fat ass.
Do you really?
Yeah. Well, I think everything I eat goes right to the ass.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I got the gut. I got the beer gut, man.
What do you think's better? Would you rather have a big fat ass?
As a dude, I'd rather have the fat ass.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's cushiony. It's not bad.
And I'm
sitting in your director's chair
here.
I feel like we could start filming at any moment. I really do.
That's good. I love that chair. Anyways, you went to Western Illinois. You kind of mentioned that.
I did.
And you majored in English.
I did.
And I majored in English.
I did. The Weatherby. English major.
Fucking retarded. Do you regret it? Because I do.
I do, in the sense that as soon as I graduated, I'm like, now what?
I got to go back to school to teach English.
Here's the thing, though. I remember being in college, I was going to be a high school English teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what you do
if
you have nothing else. I'm like, I'll just teach English. That was my favorite subject. And I took a couple of teaching classes, and I'm like, this is not for me. I can't be in the classroom. I cannot graduate and then go right into this. There's no way. I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
And stand-up was kind of picking up, you know, towards the end of college, and I was like... I got to make a decision, so I just went with the English major instead of the English education major. And, you know, I ate it as soon as I graduated. But I was lucky. I found a good job, like, probably 2 months after I graduated.
And you
and still
have
it.
That's absurd.
It's a great job.
I don't know if I'm jealous or not. I'm, like, on the fence of jealous.
It has nothing to do. It was like,
oh, no, I'm
you,
sure.
Do you
I'm
have
sure.
a bachelor's degree? I was like, yes. They're like, you're hired, you know. And it's close to my house, and it's just a really flexible job with leaving to go. Like, I just got all these weekends booked where I'm doing like Wednesday to Saturday in another state.
That's neat.
And yeah, it's really cool and exciting, but I'm like, oh man, you know, I'm glad I have a job that's like, they're like, oh yeah, do the comedy thing. I honestly think that was one of the reasons they hired me. They're like, this guy will be funny around the office.
Yeah.
Which I'm not. I stay away from everybody. I sit at my desk.
Quiet.
I don't do that whole show thing too much. I mean, you know, I'll walk in the room. I'll do the Costanza from Seinfeld where you leave on a high
I'm
note.
I'm out that one.
Yeah, you walk in, you say something, then they're like, hey, we should give him a raise or we should not fire him or, you know, whatever the thing is. I'll play that game. But I try. I don't, you know, I'm not whiffing out material left and right or anything. Like, I think they thought I might when they hired
me. That's fair.
Because that's how I played the interview. As soon as I walked in, they go, whoa, here comes the comedian. And I'm like, oh, they read that on the resume. Because I do put it on the resume. I think it's something for real-world jobs. People go, you know, like, exactly, this guy might be fun. Or this guy might know how to talk to people is probably the stronger characteristic.
That is true. I've never thought about that. All of my artistic crap has hurt me. Hands down.
This guy's going to bring his guitar to work.
He doesn't have time for this. But you're obviously not in a... Okay, stand-up is a job.
It is, yeah.
Let's be honest. But
I feel like it's a part-time job. You know, well,
okay.
It's, you know, I would love for it to be a full-time job, but I feel like the other job I have is a part-time job, too. I don't feel like I'm working full-time at anything.
Okay, the job that gives you health insurance.
That's the... Well, it doesn't come with health insurance. I have to
buy. Really?
Yeah, no, it's like, it literally is a part-time job, but it pays enough to...
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that job, that's obviously not what you want to do for your career. You want to be a stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, I would love...
Like, so that's the ultimate goal.
I would love to use stand-up to do a bunch of other things, but ultimately never leave stand-up.
Like what?
I would love to write for television. I think that would be a lot of fun. I'd love to be in a writer's room with other people.
What kind of show?
Any show on Comedy Central would be great. I like most shows. I'm not a big political. I don't do any political jokes.
So Daily Show, Colbert Report,
yeah,
probably not
for me. A show like The Office I think would be so much fun to write for. Just a show that has really rich characters.
So like a weekly thing?
Yeah, like a sitcom or... even like a show like Tosh.0, that new one, where it's like commentary on web videos, or like The Soup with Joel McHale.
That's,
those kind of shows.
Yes.
You know, I could do entertainment pop culture news, but not. I don't know anything about politics.
But you'd want to stay in the stand up field.
I would. I would always like to do stand up and use, you know, my experiences in stand up to do those other things, but never do those more than stand up. If that makes sense.
But okay, so you knew you wanted to do this at 14, but what about it made you want to do it?
Well, people always say, I love making people laugh, which, you know, I do. I really do.
Yeah.
There's a satisfaction that comes from that you can't get doing anything else in my life. I mean, my dad was an iron worker for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was satisfying when you built a building.
Kind of.
You'd stop and you go, man, my knees are killing me, but that people are going to work in that thing.
That is true. That's true.
And, but if I was doing that, I'd get the wheelbarrow of cement or whatever we're doing. And I'd be like, I can't, you know, okay. I wouldn't get past that part.
Yeah.
So, but you know, my dad's not the kind of guy that's going to grab a microphone and hop on stage either. So I think it's like, you know, it's just what fits.
So it's just like emotionally soul filling.
Soul filling? Did you make that up?
I did kind of make that
up. Is it soul?
I was going to go with fulfillment, and I said soul already, so soul I just filling? Had to go with soul filling.
I think that's Creed's new album coming out.
Oh,
soul
that's,
filling.
That's a good one.
They're
that's all right.
Back. They are.
They are coming back. They didn't release an album though.
They're not going to release.
I don't
album?
Think. I think for right now. It's
did they
tour.
Hear that title? Because
I think
they might. I think they
I think
might change
to
their minds.
Burn this digital podcast. God, I hate Creed. You kind of grow up. You kind of grew up live near that giant amphitheater, don't you?
The
whatever the hell it's
now it's called the First Midwest
Bank Amphitheater. Yeah.
Before that it was the Tweeter Center.
And before that it was
the
World
Music Theater.
Yeah.
Which by far is the coolest name. The World. It's like, where are you going to see that Dave Matthews? The World.
Yeah, and it was also one of the shittiest venues ever.
Yeah.
Still is, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's you know, I've seen a lot of Blink-182.
Yeah.
That's where you see the Blink, that's where you see the Green Day, that
your
kind
bigger,
of band.
Your bigger groups.
Yeah, yeah. And it's outdoors in the summer. It's fun. But it's
awful. Oh, but you live out there still.
I do. I live really close to that, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Right.
The shed?
Yeah. The big awning with the field behind it.
How is it living out there and trying to do stand-up pretty much everywhere in the Midwest?
It's good. Living in the suburbs is great because I'm close enough to the city.
And you're not being sarcastic here.
No. I'm sure there's people that would never live in the suburbs and just live in the city. I grew up in the suburbs, so I'm bipartial or partial to that. I love living close to Chicago because I can come down in 40 minutes and do what I need to do, like something like this. I drive 40 minutes for this, no problem.
Yeah.
Which you told me earlier is a really long drive.
It's crazy to
you
me.
You think that's really long.
But 40 minutes on the train is not like that's normal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've driven 3 hours for guest spots where you're going to another state to do a room for 10 minutes and then you go home.
Do you get paid on those?
Not for a guest spot, no.
Holy shit.
So but then, you know, if that particular one I remember went really well.
Who was it? Do you remember who you were doing it for?
It's an agency called Funny Business.
Okay.
They book all over the Midwest, and it was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they're like, come do a guest spot. And I went up there and did it, and it went well, and I got more work out of them after that. So it was cool. It was like, you know.
You're paying your dues.
You're paying your dues, yeah. And my parents are like my biggest supporters. They love what I do. My mom commented on the Comedy Central video twice.
Really?
Her name's KM Buds. It's like, I think this video is very funny. Go Ryan. And then like two comments later, it's like, did I mention this video is pretty original? Go Ryan. And I'm like, it's the same name. You can see it's a KM Buds, KM Buds. And I'm like, Mom, thanks for doing that commenting. She's like, you betcha. But at the same time, I'll be like, Mom, I'm going to the city to do a podcast. And she's like, are you getting paid? Are you getting paid? I'm like, no, it's a podcast. She doesn't know what a podcast, there's no money. No, I'm going to, you know, it's for exposure. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not, there's no money. Huh? All right. Well, hey, do what you want with your life. You know, like, that,
yeah,
that kind of,
that's very,
you know, like, she's, it's weird. Like, it's almost like she's like, am I going to get a house with a porch in the next 5 years? Is that coming my
way?
Well,
that's kind of weird that, I mean, it's not so much weird. It's wonderful. And it's, but it's somewhat surprising that your parents are so supportive about this.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They've been to, I would say, if I've done, I don't know, 300 or 400 shows in the last 3 years, they've been to like at least half of them.
Wow.
They come to so many. They come to so many shows, and I'm like, you know, it's the same shit every time.
Does it bother you?
No. Maybe they haven't come to half of them. They've come to at least 75 shows.
That's absurd.
It's not. And I tell them, I go, you don't have to come. They're usually the ones that are closer to my house. They won't ever come to the city, which I think is hilarious. I'm like, I'm doing this show downtown. It's at a theater. It's going to be 300 people. It's going to be packed. They're like, well, you know, tape it. Just tape
really?
It. Really? Yeah, they don't. And they both grew up in the city, but I think they have this perception now that the city's like, everyone's getting raped or mugged or raped and mugged. You know?
That's what we're known for.
Raped for their mugs.
I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm not as quick as I should be today. I'm very sorry.
That's all right. I wasn't too quick on that last one either.
I like the rape for
Would
mugs
someone really rape somebody for a mug?
I don't know, but it's kind of funny.
What about a mug rip beer, you think?
That's not as funny. That's more of a plug, if anything. And that just reminds me of the Danny Carvey mug rip beer show, which was a hilarious show. Who were some of the guys that you wanted to be like when you first started doing stand-up?
When I first started...
Well, you mentioned Birbiglia, but I don't know if Birbiglia you were trying to be yeah. Birbiglia. It just happened to be that...
Yeah, it kind of sounded that sound way like at first. People I wanted to be like. I wanted to be like comedians that were successful. So I wanted to do this, period.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like somebody that was you know, huge and had their name and people knew who they were. And they were
so you weren't trying to do like,
doing.
I'm only doing alt comedy.
No, at, okay. No. I think I wanted initial thing, do stand up because eventually you can make a career out of it. I think that
well,
in
what's
my
a
head,
career? Like, do you consider what you have now a career?
No, like I told you, I think it's like a part-time job. I think it's slowly...
Yeah, I know, but like, so, a lot of, yeah, but at the same time, you're spending probably at least 40 hours on it.
Yeah, that's true.
And you are getting some
Honestly, the job I have during the day is not as much work as stand-up, so...
Well, of course,
if that's a part-time job, this would be a part-time job and a half, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's full-time, it's slowly moving that way. I think in the next 2 years, I'm only gonna be, you know... I would love in the next 2 years to just do stand-up, but I have to get to the point where I can support myself and
yeah, of course.
You know, pay rent and all that.
Well, how many shows do you think you do a month on average, or a year?
A month?
Because you said you did roughly like 300 shows in the last 3 years, or is that right?
Yeah, that was kind of just throwing numbers out. I'm not sure how accurate that is. I just put up a bunch of dates on my calendar.
Yeah, you have quite
today.
A few coming up.
Like between now and the
you have dates listed until December.
Yeah, yeah. Between now and like October, I think I just put in like 40 or 45 shows.
Okay.
Which is kind of a lot, but
that is
not,
a lot.
You know, that's not, these aren't like open mics. They're like, you know, shows at clubs. Or, yeah, you know, stuff like that. More booked work rather than like,
of course,
going to show up somewhere and do a set.
Which makes me think of it's more of a career type of thing.
Yeah, in that sense, you know, I'm definitely making more money doing comedy this year than I did last year.
Yeah, that's.
Because last year, or the year before, I'm doing more just, can I get stage time? Can I get stage time?
Yeah.
But as time goes on, you're like, I still want that stage time, but if there's, you know, if I can get anything out of it too, I'll take that over a stage where I'm not getting paid, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a good mix. Go ahead.
No, please continue the thought.
I think that was it.
Okay. do you find that now that you're not doing the open mics and you're not trying to get stage time, you're not trying as much new material and you're just going to the well because you have so many booked gigs?
That comes up from time to time. I know what you mean. Actually, in the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to write a lot of new stuff. There's times where I'm like, what am I going to do tonight? I hardly do. I rarely do a show where I'm not doing something new. I have to do something new.
Every single show?
I have to do something. I have to do a one-liner, a quick something, a minute.
Yeah, well, those quick somethings add up to an
yeah.
entire set. I mean,
That's how I got started.
Yeah.
I mean, you do a couple quick somethings, and then suddenly you have 5 minutes of quick somethings or whatever. But it's, you know, I rarely do something where I just do the same set I did the night before. I always like to kind of switch it up.
Do you think you're original in that? Or because most people don't. I mean...
No, I mean, no. Well, if you come into the city, there's a lot of comics who do... I mean, I see some comics who, it almost seems like they do different stuff every time I see them.
Yeah. I mean, in the city, yeah, but in terms of, like, the well-knowns, in terms of the more established acts.
You mean people that are working around and traveling and stuff.
Exactly.
I would say that there's a lot of veteran comics, maybe, that shy from that. I think once they find what their thing is, they have their 45 minutes or their hour, and they just do that. And I think they get into a rut. I think some comics do it to keep... But I don't know. It's at the same time, I think there's some vets who that's all they can do. They're a comic and they're going to keep doing that thing. They might write some new stuff here and there, but if they don't have to, if there's nothing pushing them, they're just putting, you know, food on the table with these one night shows.
Do you think that you have the not opportunity, but the possibility of falling into that?
I think the mindset I'm in now doesn't let that happen. I don't think there's any way that's going to, you know, I would stay as far away from that as I could, but, I could see how it could happen. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen to me. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is your age played into all this? Because you're really young, compared to the most of the other.
You keep mentioning that, and it's
to the most of the other male comics, you're a lot younger. For the most of the female comics, you're about the same age.
Gotcha. Are you calling me a woman?
No, it's delightful. You have soft skin, and it's very nice. It's just usually at this age for a guy, he can't find his voice. It seems.
Yeah. I'll admit, I don't know if I found my voice yet.
Yeah, but some of the voices you have are funny. Like, so it doesn't matter if you found your voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're also not angry.
Yeah, you mean as...
As a comic, like, you're not like, fuck. Like, you're not doing the Bill Hicks thing. You're not doing...
You mean on stage or off stage?
Either way.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, it's neither.
I don't think anything I'm doing calls for anger.
Yeah,
I know. I could see how it, you know, you could get frustrating at times if you're not where you want to be, but I try and set goals, which is you know what most people do. Some people don't go through and complete.
But also, you're also dealing with a lot of artistic people, and I'm not used to a lot of goals.
Gotcha.
So maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's I'm just saying it's quite impressive that you're so young and doing this, and like you're not like a crazy phenom. You're not like 4 years old. I mean, you're only a few years younger than me, but it's good.
Yeah.
And you've been doing this since you were 20 and you wanted to do it at 14.
Right.
That's not the norm.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe all that preparation set me up to start this when I started it. You know what I mean? Like,
when you say preparation, you mean like your friend giving you Delirious?
Yeah. Somebody lending me Delirious, getting up and talking in front of people, taking a speech class in college. All that stuff rolls into, you know, when I was 20, just getting on with it, I think.
What do you remember your first gig?
It was at college. It was at Western Illinois.
Okay.
And it was in a room called The Pit. Which sounds a little intimidating for your first time. It was like a dorm common room.
Okay,
like it was like a, but it was like a basement-y type feel, and there's a fireplace, and then they called it The Pit. And I wrote some stuff on note cards, and I looked it over, and it was just an open mic for anybody, and they had like punch and cookies out. And I think it was mostly like spoken word stuff, like maybe some poetry, some music, and then I went up, and I did... I want to say 6-7 minutes of
that's
just
a lot for, yeah, for it, that's a lot for a
yeah,
first
yeah I was probably just rambling most of the time, like you know a lot of you knows, you know, there you go, I just said one.
That's good.
A lot of that kind of stuff. And the guy that went up after me, it didn't go well. The last joke I did went well.
You got a laugh.
I got a laugh on the last joke enough to go, I'm gonna write more jokes like that one.
That's good.
And that's what I did. I took that joke, and that was my ender joke. And I tried to rewrite all the other jokes that didn't work to sound more like that one. Because when you're done, you're like, why did that? Because I recorded it on a hand audio recorder.
You're already a professional.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's what I heard you got to do. You know, I was looking in
so
books.
So you're really just a student
that's
of
what
all
you
this,
do.
Man.
Yeah. You see it, you're like, you go to open mic somewhere, and they're like, they got these little recorders. So I bought one, and I had it, and I recorded it, and I'm like, no one's laughing this whole time. Until this very end, I'm like, I just got to write more jokes structured like that one. And, I don't know if I even do any of those jokes anymore from that night. Definitely not from that night. Maybe from.
Do you still have that tape?
Yeah, I do. I have it. I have somebody videoed it too, then and sent it. Or did I video it? No.
Are you? You're gonna somebody video in, inevitably. You're going to record a CD DVD.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Yeah.
Please make that a bonus feature.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Not even the show. I'm just thinking your director's commentary over that.
Yeah.
Would be great.
Yeah. So no one actually hears it. It's just me talking about it.
You should be like, oh, this is so awful. And then be like, this one works. And then like laughter.
Yeah.
I think it would be good.
Yeah. There was a lot. I remember doing a lot of hand gestures. Like I do some now, but like I remember that was like all I was trying to do. A lot of like, you know what I mean? And putting your hands out,
like,
you know,
intentionally you put this
in. Yeah. Yeah. This was that was what I thought. I'm like, that's what I'll do. I'll be the hand gesture. I'll just do hand gesture. It was just so bad. It was so bad.
And it, for some odd reason, it didn't catch on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it was. It was either the no laughs or the too many hand gestures.
Are you still recording your shows now?
From time to time I'll do. Yeah. I'll do that. I think it's a good, it's great to, you know, if you want to put a clip online, I have like one of those hard drive camcorders, which are great. You don't have to mess with the tape and stuff. I have one of those, so sometimes I'll set it up and tape the show, and then I'll hook the comedians up, like, because I think a lot of comedians want clips of themselves but might not have a camera. I'll be like, hey, do you guys want me to tape the show? It's a hard drive, it just records, and you know, people usually seem to appreciate that.
Of course
It's cool. It's gives everybody an opportunity to get something online, which I think is a huge thing in 2009 to be able to do, you know what I mean?
Completely. Yeah. Do you think you're going to have to move in order to become successful? Not successful, but more financially stable?
I don't know if I would have to move. I would like to move just to do performing in other areas. I would like to, you know, I'd like to do it all. I'd like to New York and California and the South. I would like to try the South, see how that's going. I just went to Chattanooga for 4th of July weekend, not for a show, but like just seeing how the people are down there, and I'm like, would my jokes work down here? You know, I would like
pretty universal.
Yeah, it was. Chattanooga was not what I imagined it to be. I imagined more fiddly type music and more people that were kind of like hokey, but it was like it was people up here, but with an accent. That's all I got. That was all I got. I think I need to do a little further south,
probably.
Maybe like the Louisiana
or outside of a
Alabama.
City, Alabama, city ish.
That's true. Yeah, I should have just started knocking on farm doors. Yeah,
could I try these jokes? That'd be great.
Oh, I thought you were going to try some jokes.
No. I think
you had a pen and you were kind of leaning over. I thought you were like, let me run some jokes. But now, are people going to know if I referenced Archie Comics and Mr. Weatherby? If I did a joke like that, was that one of them?
That was really good.
Some Jughead fans.
The first time I knew about that character was from the movie Chasing Amy.
Oh yeah. Who's? What did they say?
It's about the fourth scene in the film. It's the first time that Ben Affleck and Joylynn Adams are kind of connecting in the bar. It's after the comic convention.
Right.
And Jason Lee and the guy that plays the gay comic writer are arguing about Archie Comics and about if Jughead and Archie are fucking each other and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this at like 3 in the morning and I'm in high school and I have the closed captions on because like I can't have the sound up a lot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden on like the screen it just says, Archie is not fucking Mr. Weatherby. So that was really neat. I learned about
that. You're Mr. Weatherby.
I am Mr. Weatherby. It's spelled differently though.
Is it?
Yeah. His is Weatherby, like the weather outside, and B is an insect, and mine's weather with no meaning whatsoever. It's W-E-T-H-E-R.
Gotcha.
It's
gotcha.
Pointless. I'm guessing the Buds thing. I mean, you do the bit about your name and everything. Yeah. That had to be very odd growing up.
When I was a kid, it was more like Butts. Like it was like, oh, there's Ryan Butts, and I was like,
and then in college,
oh,
you
change the
really
D's
neat.
To T's. That's pretty good, you know, when you're a kid. But then, when you get to high school and college, it's like, oh, no, but is that? I've literally had people go, that's your like
stage name?
No, that's your dealer name. Like,
oh, really?
I don't know if dealers
that's
do
the
that.
Shittiest dealer
so,
name.
Yeah. I'm like, that's kind of obvious. Yeah. Like, my name's Joey Heroin. Do you guys need any? No? All right, cool.
I'd like to meet Joey Heroin to see his life. He's an accountant.
Joey Heroin?
Yeah.
There's somebody with the last name Heroin.
I'm sure.
I'm sure people give him shit about it, too. They're like, no, but really.
But you're on heroin, right? That's why you changed. You were responsible enough to go to offices and file papers to get your heroin name changed. What do you want to plug, Ryan?
I will be at the Lake Shore on July 31st, which is my sister's birthday.
Great.
So I'm plugging both of those things.
How old is she going to be?
Check out. I have no idea. Maybe 30.
So it's an older 30. Sister.
It's my older sister. Yeah. Okay. 30.
Don't say it. She'll be mad.
She will be mad. We'll say 30.
She's 30. She's turning into big 3-0.
She's 30. That's July 31st.
Okay.
And I'll be at the Lakeshore Theater. The show starts, I believe, at midnight.
Oh, it's a late show.
Which is
show.
Cool. It's a late show.
It's a Friday night show.
At the lake.
For those of you that haven't been, the Lakeshore is one of the best places to see comedy in the city.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was just there on Saturday. I was telling you, I saw Arj Barker.
Yeah, if you don't, you probably know Arj from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, so good.
He's the guy that's not Eugene Merman.
And the middle guy was Cash Levy, who was also really funny. He brought his middle. And then the host was Jim Gaynor, a good friend of mine, who's in the sketch group Big Dog Eat Child. And they have a really popular internet video right now called Jones Big Ass Truck Rental and Car Storage. I think it has 2 million hits on YouTube, and they're selling all kinds of t-shirts, and they're going to make more Jones videos and all kinds of stuff. But
you got to get in on this, man.
I do. I got to get in one of these videos.
Or get a catchphrase or
something. Or just pop up in one or something, yeah. But they have, they're doing their show. It's called Intergalactic Sex Rodeo, which is a great name for a show.
It sounds like a Beastie Boys B-side.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds like something they'd scratch down. And Scratch Down, is that what you do? Is that what the Beastie Boys do?
I have no idea. They have a song called Root Down.
Root Down? That's what I meant.
Sure.
Yeah. Intergalactic Sex Rodeo, July 31st, Lakeshore Theater. Starts at midnight.
21 and over? 18 and over?
Sure.
All right, I don't know. I'm asking you.
One or the other.
Your website is yourname.com.
It is.
You're one of the few people that have a website, and it's updated and usable.
Yeah, I try. Good job. I can't believe when people comment that. I'm like, really? Sometimes people people sign up to be a user, and I don't know when that happens for some reason, but then I'll get a comment on a post, and I'm like, I didn't think people actually read this shit.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, it's fun. That was something I learned right before I graduated college. I took a website class, and it was in English. It was another required class for my English degree, and it was just, they taught you the basics and how to do it, and that's priceless knowledge.
Look at you learning stuff from college.
Yeah, learning stuff.
Keep,
for real.
Stay in school, kids.
It was good, but I made that website based off of the stuff I learned in there. We had to make a website for the final, and that essentially became the website that I keep now. So
all that money was worth it for that website?
Yeah. Yeah, the 14 grand a year, whatever.
That's not that much, considering.
It's bad.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
I'm going to close this by plugging some stuff. No. I forgot. Here we go. This will be from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. So Ryan needs to pick a number between 1 and 260.
We will go with 140.
All right, 140. I like holding it near the mic so people know there's a book.
There's
in my
an actual
hand.
Book, yeah. And you're not just printing out bullshit.
Exactly. Because this would be everything. This is what bullshit's based around. All right. If your two best friends got so mad at each other that they
would,
both...
Do you have to have two best friends?
You do. In this theory, okay. You do. You could just... they could be imaginary. I don't care.
All right.
If your two best friends got so mad at each other that they both refused to come to your birthday party, if the other were there, what would you do?
What would I do? I have two best friends.
You have two best friends.
They don't want to... They both want to...
And they're mad at each other.
But they both want to come to the party?
That's not clear.
It's not clear?
It's not clear.
I like, in this scenario, I have two best friends.
That's great.
I think that's great. And if they're... Are they fighting over me in this question?
They could be. Do you want them to be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I have two best friends in this question, they better be fighting over me.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have any friends and you're like... You're talking to your mom or something. Because I remember getting this book as a child and I... Asked my mom. I had my mom.
You bought that book last week. I did. That's not bullshit.
It's even sadder that I still have it around when I was 10, actually. So I'm gonna go with that. And I asked her all of the questions in the book in one night.
Yeah.
And she asked me.
Did she answer everyone?
I have no.
Do you remember her answer? How great would it be if you knew the answer to this
to that
140,
specific question?
To 140. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
No,
I guess here's what I would. You know what? I'd have both of them come. I'd tell them the other one wouldn't be there.
Okay.
And then we'd sit down, and everyone at the party, we'd do kind of an intervention. I think that's what we do. We'd
that's
say,
great.
Listen, you guys need to get this shit straight, and we're all gonna eat ice cream.
What if they're not coming to your party because they're both diabetic? And they're lactose intolerant.
Listen, I don't have any diabetic friends, let alone two diabetic
that's good.
Best friends.
That's
let's
good.
Let's not stretch it.
Don't let the weakness get in the gene pool.
Exactly.
There you go. On that Nazi message, let's plug a show. Ryan will be performing at the Hungry Brain as part of the You, Me, Them, Everybody series on Monday, July 27th. It's a free show. All the money that you do give, though, will go to the comedians. Ryan Buds, Brennan McGowan, Dan Telfer, Paul Thomas, CJ Toledano, and Lisa Traeger. There is a new podcast that we do. It's called the You, Me, Them, Everybody Chicago Music Podcast. So if you're listening to this, put this name into iTunes, and the other one will show up. It's completely different because it's just songs and stuff like that. And then tonight, Wednesday, July 15th. If you happen to be listening to this on Wednesday, July 15th, tonight, I will be spinning records at Clubfoot, all bands from Chicago. Once again, thanks to Ryan. Go to his website. It's friendly and usable.
Mr. Weatherby, thanks for having me.
Oh, don't say that. I'm going to close this thing. Why would I not want you to say that? It's very odd of me. I have some issues to work through. Daniel Knox. I'm going to close this thing with Daniel Knox. He's currently on tour in the Southwest with the Handsome Family. And as you've ever listened to the show, you know that I'm a giant, giant fan of Daniel's and his friend. And go to listen to that podcast. So I'm going to close with Daniel Knox and have a wonderful evening.
I make enemies everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I make enemies everywhere I go. All day long. And if you're sick and tired of how you're treated, it's only human to feel cheated. Everybody's got a little shit to throw, but I know something they don't know. I make enemies everywhere I go, all day long. I leave victims in my path, in my path, in my path. I leave victims in my path all day long. Because they ruin all the air where I live and breathe. I got something up my sleeve. Everybody's gonna have to feel my wrath. Tonight there's gonna be another bloodbath. I leave victims in my path all day long. I make dirty faces at the women and the kids all day long. Because they walk around with the stink and the noise. Oh, how I hate the girls and the boys who squawk and cackle at the height of their fun. Doesn't do a bit of good for anyone. I make faces at the women and the kids all day long.